Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the KSL.com Game Center podcast. It is Friday, March 3rd. That's right, we made it. It's the end of the week. And we are joined today by Josh Furlong, Utah beat writer, to discuss an unfortunate early exit for one of the Utes basketball teams down in Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament, the women's team, which was ranked number 3 in the nation when the AP poll came out earlier this week. We've talked about them on this podcast before. Great team, fun to watch. They lost last night in the NCAA, in the Pac-12 tournament. They were upset by Washington State 66-58. And so, you know, we decided to bring on Josh to kind of debrief, break down exactly what happened. And what this means for the Utes going forward. So, Josh, what was it like to, I guess, just kind of watch the slow, crashing and falling of this team last night?
Yeah, it was a weird thing to watch, right? Because this is a team that generally has no problem fighting through adversity, or even if they face a deficit, they usually can come back. And for the most part, Utah did actually come back last night late in the fourth quarter. It was too little too late, right? I mean, Washington State got the ball back with 39 seconds left and basically wore out the clock. They were up by 3 and Utah elected not to foul. They played great defense, and then ultimately Washington State made a clutch, you know, shot clock buzzer beating three pointer at the top of the key to take a 6-point lead. And by then it was just over. So it was interesting, but all in all, like, yeah, losing in the quarterfinals is the number 3 ranked team in the country. That sounds like a terrible thing, but ultimately, like, this really doesn't impact Utah too much. There are some things at play, and we'll talk about that. But it was more just, you know, it was one of those times that, you know, Lynn Roberts said it best: tonight wasn't our night, right? And that's just how it was. And so it's one of those things that it sucks for those that follow Utah basketball and want to see the women's team do well, especially on the historic pace that they were on and kind of reaching the levels that they did. But all in all, it's still going to be okay for Utah, and if anything, it kind of gives them a recharge as they enter the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about how it just wasn't their night, and it's funny because I was talking with our friend Jacob Nielsen yesterday about Utah State basketball and how they're kind of on the opposite side of that equation, where it's like Utah State's the underdog. And so they're hoping, you know, any night could be our night, right? As opposed to when you're on top and you're not the underdog, you're like, oh no, like, could this be the night that somebody else has their night, right? And so I think that's kind of what happened last night, was just, you know, Washington State took advantage. You know, I said that it was a slow crashing, but really it wasn't. You know, in the third quarter, I mean, the first half, Utah had a win and had the lead, outscoring Washington State. And then in the third quarter, Washington State outscored Utah 27-11. And so it really was kind of a quick turnaround there. And like you mentioned, you know, with a team that is as experienced and as kind of just polished as this Utah team is, you don't expect that kind of a slip up or them to allow that kind of a run to happen. So I'm kind of curious, you know, it was just one night, but was there anything kind of in that performance that made you think that could be a kind of a signifier of weaknesses going forward with this Utah team?
I don't necessarily think there's huge glaring things, right? I mean, there's times where Utah, especially down in the post, they like to feed it to Alyssa Peely and kind of let her go to work. And there's other players that do that as well. But sometimes she forces some shots that aren't always the best. She's got two or three people draping over her, and she tries to force up the shot. And quite often, a lot of the times, they're not calling fouls on these, you know, and so it's difficult because you want her to be that aggressive. You want her to be able to be that playmaker down in the post. But if they're not calling it, it looks more just like a terrible shot because she's just trying to throw it up there. Right now, to say that about the Pac-12 player of the year is kind of tough. And I'm not saying that she's doing anything wrong necessarily, but I think that type of scenario, if Utah's not getting their success in the post, they've got to find a way to kick it out and hit their shots. Last night, they weren't hitting their shots, but credit to Washington State. I mean, they were playing some phenomenal defense. As you mentioned, it's one of those things where, you know, Utah really, you know, they lose and it doesn't really hurt them. It does in some small areas, but for the most part, they've got, you know, they're fine. Washington State has everything to lose. They're still an NCAA tournament team, but this is an opportunity for them to kind of shock the world. They played the night before, so they kind of got their blood flowing and are ready to go. And I know a lot of people kind of have that conversation about, is a buy really worth it? Because then you're coming in cold while the other team has had a day's preparation and kind of gotten that feel. I don't think it really matters. I mean, I think it has some value, but at the end of the day, Utah just, they didn't show up. Washington State absolutely took advantage and beat Utah, you know, in a situation that, you know, doesn't look good for Utah, but it's not something that, you know, predicts anything terrible. If anything, I think this gives them a good opportunity to say, okay, look, you know, we can't just roll into these games and expect to win, especially against an NCAA tournament caliber team. You can be the number one seed or number two seed or whatever seed you are. You know, you still got teams that are going to be able to give you their best and they're going to beat you. And that's exactly what Washington State did. So, you know, I don't see this as being some telltale sign that this is, you know, a downfall for Utah. Could they lose early in the tournament? 100%. But I don't see anything that kind of sparks that, barring them kind of going away from the team ball that has made them successful this year.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, could this kind of spiral into an early exit in the tournament? It's funny because as this was happening last night with Utah, I kind of had some flashbacks to the BYU women's basketball team last year that I covered. They were great. They were never ranked as high as Utah was. But they were, you know, pretty consistently, you know, top 15, top 20 team in the nation, possibly might have gotten a home game in the tournament, didn't end up getting a home game. And so, you know, they go and they it was a similar thing. They lost in their conference tournament down in Vegas, and that kind of spiraled into a first round upset in the NCAA tournament as well. So I kind of look at this as like, you know, can this kind of be a sign of like momentum going in the wrong direction at the exact wrong time, right? But as you mentioned, you know, as far as on paper, this shouldn't affect, you know, the projections of this Utah team too much. But I do want to talk about that a little bit. You know, there was discussion of potentially Utah as a number one seed, right, in this NCAA tournament. You mentioned last night on Twitter, I believe they're still probably going to get a home game, right, which is fantastic. But what are we looking at now that could be some ramifications of this loss? That, I mean, they haven't lost many games at all this season. So
this is only their fourth loss, so it's not like Utah's, you know, spiraling by any means and suddenly has a bunch. But at the same time, you know, this is one of those scenarios where they come into the Pac-12 tournament with you know, the number three ranking in the country. Many expected them as literally the third best number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think if they would have gotten to the, you know, the semifinals and lost, maybe that was still intact. But I think ultimately that's going to drop them to the two seed line, which, you know, it's sixes, right? Like it doesn't really matter because you're still a top seed. And the only time that matters is if you get to the Final Four and you have to face off, or Elite Eight, excuse me, where you have to face off against the, you know, the top team in that. So it's not a huge scenario. And by then it's all regional play anyway. So you don't necessarily get a home court advantage. So in reality, this really didn't do anything to Utah. It bumped them down a seed line, so they'll be a number two seed. I can't imagine anything takes them below a two seed. That they've been riding that two seed the whole time. So what that affords them is they get to host the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament at the Huntsman Center. So, you know, barring them losing early or something like that, they at least get two home games, get an opportunity to be able to play some tough competition there. You know, get favorable matchups based on the seed line and everything that way. So, like I said, like this really didn't impact them that much. It doesn't really do much to them. It's more of just like that, like you were mentioning earlier, the trajectory and kind of what it does for the program and kind of that way. So, this is one of those things that Utah is trying very hard to be able to get to the Sweet 16, try to be able to move forward from what they did last year. Last year they got to the second round. But yeah, this gives you pause, definitely. And I think this is something that, you know, it doesn't affect them necessarily in the seed line, but it's something that could affect their psyche going into this. But I don't get that from this team. I think it was more just an aberration based on last night.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that can separate like good from great teams, right? Is that ability to not let one loss spiral into two or three or four, right? Be able to kind of flip the switch. And a lot of it's mental. Like, I'm sure a lot of doubt starts to creep in once you do get a loss, especially in a tournament setting, right? You start to think, oh no, like, you know, could that happen again, right? Are we as good as we thought we were? But it really seems like, you know, you just mentioned it as well, that the mentality and kind of psyche of this team seems to be quite resilient. We mentioned they only have four losses on the year, so it's not like they've ever had you know, that consecutive spiraling loss is kind of an issue. And I did kind of want to touch on, you mentioned a quote from Coach Lynn Roberts earlier, and she was named Pac-12 Coach of the Year. You mentioned her in an article you wrote this week, kind of how she's been able to build up this program, the culture of it, coming in, I believe it was in like 2015 that she started, and just what she's been able to do. How she had a 5-win season 1 year, which is insane to think about, and now they only had 4 losses. So like, just how she's been able to turn things around. Obviously, you know, she has that mentality, right, of being able to not let the past affect what's going forward. So I'm kind of curious, maybe just kind of as we wrap up here, what you've seen from Coach Roberts and how she's been able to lead this team to where they're at now.
Yeah, and credit to Lynn Roberts for kind of her consistency over that time, right? In 2015, she comes into a program that clearly needed some help. That's why you bring in a new head coach. But it took a long time, right? Like, she had the same vision. It's not like everything changed recently and it was like, oh, I want to win now. This has always been something that she's dreamed of. It's been something that she's wanted to obtain, but she's been able to recruit and be able to get her players to buy into that. I mean, 2 years ago, like you mentioned, 5 wins. That was all they had the entire season. And then the next year they shock the conference and they make it to the Pac-12 championship game. And then, you know, they go on their run in the NCAA tournament to the second round. So, you know, it feels like all of a sudden it's been this sudden jolt to that. But I think the reason for that is she went back to Tara Vandeveer, the Stanford head coach, and she just was like, be honest with me, what do I need to change? And Tara, to her credit, I mean, they have a good camaraderie, you know, they had a good conversation, and it really changed kind of the philosophy that Lynn Roberts was thinking about and like what she can do. And then a year later, she beats, you know, Tara Vandeveer's team, you know, to claim a co-championship with her. So it's like, these had real world implications. Tara didn't have to do that, right? This is one of those things where she could say, sorry, you're, you know, somebody I don't want to deal with. I don't want to do this. But there was some camaraderie there that allowed that to be able to happen, as well as some humility on Lynn's part to be able to say, look, I'm not good enough yet, right? I'm going to go to one of the greatest of all time coaches to be able to get some advice. And then she took it and ran with it. And she also has the players to be able to do that. So you got to say that. But I think that's the difference, right? Is she's been able to build it. She's never lost sight of the vision. And I think after that 5-win season, I think it would be really easy to say, you know, like, I'm not doing anything here at Utah. Like, am I really making a difference? And, you know, ride out to the sunset and let somebody else take it. But she, you know, she's moved forward and she's been able to do that. And to have only their 4th loss in the conference tournament, that's pretty impressive. So, you know, Lynn gets a lot of credit here. Obviously, her players get a lot of credit. She's done a great job recruiting. The fact that she was able to get Alyssa Peely in the transfer portal, I mean, that's a phenomenal thing as well. So it's a great opportunity for Utah and being able to move forward. But just kind of mentioning off of what you talked about earlier, like, sometimes it's just not your night. I mean, years ago, we saw in the men's basketball tournament, Virginia, the number one seed, they lose to, what was it, UMBC.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes teams just have a hot night, and that's how it is. So, you know, Utah, like, if you look at this and they're going in the NCAA tournament, and, you know, if you're a fan of the program and you're a little bit down on that, sometimes it's just not your night. And it sucks to say that, especially after having such a phenomenal year and you had all these goals. I mean, I remember Virginia, they thought they were going to win it all. And I think a lot of people projected them to. You know, it happens, right? Like, this is the game of basketball. That's why we love March. So, you know, don't get too down on them. I think they have the makeup to be able to turn it around. They do need to get Issy Palmer back. She was injured and wasn't able to play last night. She's a good facilitator for them on the floor and helps them. So, you know, I think with 2 weeks off, you get an opportunity to really kind of hone in on what it is that makes you successful, and that'll either help or hinder you and kind of give you too much time to think, but we'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot of optimism around this program, and until they lose, I mean, you have to believe that they're at least going to have a fighting chance in any game they play.
For sure, for sure. It's March, like you mentioned, right? You know, we're gonna have bracket busters, but that's always the challenge of figuring out which of these, you know, higher seeded teams is going to be upset, right? Like, it's almost an impossible task. But to think about, you know, does this Utah team have what it takes to not be upset, right? Obviously, it happened last night. But to not let it happen twice in a row, that's obviously a huge thing to talk about. And you mentioned UMBC, that the coach of that team is now the head coach of Utah State. And so it kind of comes full circle, right? We've got a lot of interesting connections, and it should be a really exciting month. I mean, they do have 2 weeks off, speaking of the Utes, but they'll be right back at it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun to watch in the tournament. Hopefully it's not a first round loss, so we can get to see them make a little bit of a run. But yeah, this should be a lot of fun basketball being played over these next few weeks, teams coming from the state of Utah. So make sure you guys are watching out, staying tuned to what we're doing here over at KSL.com/sports. And thanks for coming on, Josh. We'll catch you next time.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next time on the Game Center podcast.